throw them for a loop. So this is going to be fun because this comes right off of, we had open dorms last night, and I wreaked havoc throughout the dorms, so it was fun. Flip mattresses and, you know what I'm saying, all the fun stuff that college students do to one another. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll begin, and you guys can pray as well. So, Father, we just ask that you bless us tonight. We ask that you work within us to see how confession of sin and striving towards sanctification works for both our benefit and our joy. I pray that if there's any here who does not confess sin, that tonight they see the need to confess sin, that we may walk in the light as you are in the light. And I ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. It was really cool that Dustin gave me this passage. Because at school we're going through, it's kind of cool that Seth's not here. One of my dearest friends is dealing with sin issues. As far as like the confession of sin, some stuff that he had not been living in the light has come out, and he is now no longer engaged. He's no longer an RA. He's no longer a student at Boys College, but he is still a dear friend. And we're still working, and we're still counseling, and we're still striving through these areas. And he said, I talked to him the other day, and he said, I am now more free now than I've ever been in my entire life. He said, I used to live off of status. He's like, I was an RA. He said, I was engaged to one of the prettiest girls on campus. He's like, I work for the seminary. He had a ton of stuff, and he's I am now more free than I have ever been. And I asked him if I could share that, and he said, yeah. Just for the aspect that I think a lot of times when we deal with confession of sin, we deal with this aspect of almost fear of what is man going to say, or what happens if I lose everything. And I'm watching a brother, a dear friend, who has lost everything. And he said, I am now more free than I have ever been. He plans on reapplying back to school. I mean, he's still being counseled. He still does stuff. Like, we're still all close friends. I don't know what the issue was, but frankly, I don't necessarily want to know what the issue was. But I'm going to read the text in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. It says this. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Before we begin, as far as like the exposition of this text, I want to read verses 4 because I think it's applicable to this scenario. And it says this, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Back to my friend's scenario, though everything seems from our aspects to almost have gone wrong, he says, I am now more free. Like, there is an aspect within joy that works where he will be on the other side of this. When this is all kind of come over, he will be better off, and he is more joyful because now he no longer has to live with this aspect of fear of somebody finding out or any of this stuff, and he is free. So this is for our joy that we confess sin. It's for our benefit that we confess sin. It's for our church growth. It's for our church just relationships that we confess sin. Like, there's a beauty to what may not seem beautiful. Let us begin. Okay, so it says God is light. So we find within God the aspect of all truth and all purity. Like, God sets the standard. Like, he is the light in our lives, and we are to walk in that. So what does that mean for us, just practically? I think we should work to read our Bibles and work to know the truth of God. Areas that may seem, there are some, like, biblical passages that seem tough for us. I think it's beneficial for us to work through those and to wrestle with ideas that we may not necessarily want to wrestle with, because it may seem hard, it may seem challenging, it may seem like I can't do this, but I think the wrestling through of those passages works for us as far as walking in the light because we know more of who the character and nature of God is. And I think that's benefit, as well as looking to his Bible, looking to the Bible, his word as a standard. Like, we see, okay, what is the standard of holiness in which I must live? Standard of holiness is set for me in the scriptures, so I need to be looking to find the truth that God sets, the light that he gives, so that we can see, okay, this is what the truth says. Now, how do I walk in the purity that I see God exemplifies there? Does that make sense? Like, we're trying to look to the standard to say, okay, how do I live as pure as I possibly can? We continue on in verse 6. It says, and we say that we have fellowship with him. While we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Basically, what it's saying is if we hide and we lie and we try to put on our church clothes, if we try to put on our church attitudes, you know what I'm saying? If we're not who we are and we put on this facade, back to my friend, I had no idea. Like, we knew some things were wrong, but I still don't even know what it is. Like, it was hidden so well that I still have really no idea why. It's just like one of those things you're like, but we do that, don't we? Maybe not to that extent, but there are aspects of our lives that we like to remain hidden from other people. Because if we hide ourselves, we feel as though we're protected. We feel as though we can make it through the Sunday and the Wednesday nights because nobody has to know about this. Nobody has to know about that. But what does the word say? It says if we decide to continue to walk in this without a genuine repentance, without fighting sin, it says we lie. We don't practice the truth. But who is truth? I mean, you look right back. God is the truth, and God is the standard. So for us to not fight for purity and for holiness in all aspects is for us to not to try to be like God. And I think all of us in this room would say, we want to be as close to Jesus Christ as possible. Back to a story from Boyce College, just for funny for me, this is kind of parenthetical. It says this, they said, who do Boyce College girls most want their husbands to be like? I answered, Jesus. Apparently that's number two, Boaz, is who people actually want their wives to be. This is for fun. But like, we should strive to be like Jesus in all aspects. So we cannot live in a continual pattern of sin where we don't fight for holiness. And I think a lot of times, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't. We don't fight necessarily as hard as we should for the holiness aspect because we are quite content with just being who we are. Let's continue on and see what the text says about this. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we walk in the light, both in truth, in the aspect, okay, we're seeking to know who God is, we're seeking to know the standard in which he sets. Who is he? What can we know about him? How does this work, and how can I best understand what God has revealed to me? And then, okay, now I see that, how do I best match my life to who he is? So truth and holiness. It allows for fellowship, and I put within the church. The church is, if it's doing what it's supposed to be, a body of people who have all united underneath Jesus Christ. And we come here, and we are not a perfect people. We are a quirky people in a lot of ways. We have a lot of characters, and we come together, and we love this. And we love one another. But what unites us? Christ unites us. We are all a group of people, as messed up as we are, who say, okay, our standard is Jesus Christ. Let us, as a group, match this with the way we live our lives. So, here's where the confession of sins starts to play in. We say, okay, I know that I struggle with this. And I love Wally dearly. So I say, Wally, I struggle with this issue. Just name whatever it is. Doesn't matter. I say, I struggle with this. Will you be praying for me? Will you ask me on Wednesdays, on Sundays? Every time you see me, will you ask and say, okay, how are you doing in this area? So now he knows where my weaknesses are. I'm no longer hidden. Instead, I'm out in the open with it. And now, whenever I'm here, I know that Wally's going to watch my back, one. And two, I am more likely to continue to fight my sin on the other days of the week because I don't want to have to come here and have to say, Wally, dude, man, I just messed up a lot. Like, I didn't even fight. I didn't even care. You know what I'm saying? I didn't read my word. You know what I'm saying? Like, having an accountability partner within the church, one grows the unity as well as it grows my fight for holiness. And I think we miss this so often in the church because we enjoy, let's just take Vine Street activities because all churches have this type of stuff, but we enjoy the Super Sundays and we enjoy the business meetings because they sometimes people say funny words and you know what I'm saying? And we enjoy going to prayer meeting. We enjoy this, we enjoy that. But a lot of times I think we miss out on the joy of confessing sin, though it's hard at the time. We miss out on the freedom that Christ purchased for us on the cross. Like, we miss that entirely because we still, in some levels, either one, are hiding ourselves and we're not practicing the truth because we deceive ourselves or a liar, or two, we miss out on just like the freedom aspect. We miss out on being who God has purchased for us on the cross. Like, we miss these ideas. So, back to this just for a second. Whenever I read second part of 7, I just want to clarify something. It said, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Like, but it almost asks, like, if you read that whole thing, it says, if I do this, then this is what I get. Like, it's almost like if I walk in the light, then at that point in time, Christ applies salvation to me. It's almost kind of just as a reading, what I kind of was there, and I sat there, I said, well, that doesn't make sense. So I'm going to try to clarify this, because I believe that Jesus Christ purchases and freely grants salvation to his people, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. You see that in Ephesians chapter 2. So how do I make Ephesians chapter 2, when it says freely given, match with what seems like it says, if I walk, then I get? So here's kind of what the commentary I used, as well as my thoughts, says. Walking in the light leads to a progressive cleansing of our sin. So it's a sanctification, not a justification. Let me clarify those terms. Justification means that I, at the point of salvation, whenever I go from death to life, as you see in Ephesians chapter 2, at that point in time, I am justified. I am pure. I am redeemed. I am brought back. Like, church words that most of us are probably pretty familiar with, like, at that point in time. Now, as I walk in the light, I'm being sanctified. The process of becoming more holy. As I walk, Christ filters me. He says, okay, like, as I walk, Wally is more sanctified than I, because Wally has done this longer, and Christ has been working within your life much, much longer. I know, it's weird hearing somebody say that, but much longer, you know what I'm saying? Like, where God's been working and saying, okay, like, you do this well, you don't do this well. And you kind of see this, and you work, and you struggle, and you fight, and you work your way through. Those of you who are older than I, which is everybody in here, should, you know what I'm saying, if you've been saved, should have this process where you are more holy now than you were at my age. How did that happen? It happened because you walked in the light. It happened because you chose to confess sins to one another. Happens because you've been striving to be like the standard revealed in who God is, in both his truth and his purity. Okay, let's go down to verse 8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Man, a lot of times, if we're just being real, like, that's us a lot of times. Like, hey, how you doing? What are you struggling with? You're like, I'm good right now. That happens far too often. We sat there the other day in an RA meeting, and they said, hey, like, where are you guys struggling at? And I sit there and say, man, like, I'm ruled by food in a lot of ways. Like, I love food. I hate working out. And I just confess it to my brothers, and I say, hey, like, if you guys see me going up there and trying to get, like, 2 or 3 cookies, I'd be like, swat out of my hand. I'll be like, I don't need the cookies. I don't need the soda. I don't need that stuff for 2 reasons. I was like, one, I want to pursue holiness. I don't want to be a glutton. And 2, it's not good for my health. Like, I would like to live longer than 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would enjoy these type of things. So I said, okay, let's pursue this. And since we do this, since I confessed where I struggle, man, I've been in the gym every day this week. I had not done that. I don't even know how long, since last semester, I guess. But I have people now who I'm working with and saying, let's get in the gym. Let's do these things. And I know like it seems like a minor issue, but that is an area where I am being ruled by something that's not Christ. But the fact that I have brothers and I have sisters who are helping me go through this, man, it makes the fight seem easier because I'm not alone. And I had to get to the point where I said, okay, look, this is where I'm struggling, legitimately, that's where I'm struggling. I had to confess to my brothers and sisters that I have sin issues. It says if we confess our sins one to another, or if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's beautiful. Because we choose to confess our sins, you are forgiven. And it's not like anything that you say, nothing you've said, nothing you've ever done, is not like God doesn't already know. You are legitimately just telling somebody that you've done something that they watched you do. It's like you guys all have been around children. You see that. You know good and well what your children have already done. You know good and well. And they can lie to you, which they do, and we do, a lot. Or they could just tell you that they did it. You already know. It's not a surprise to you. It's not like you're taken back by anything they've done. You already know. It's the same way, I think, within the Heavenly Father. He sees you and he knows what you've done. And you can come and you can confess to him and you can say, I've done this. And at that point in time, he's faithful and he is just to forgive. As well as when you work within, as you work within the church here, if Wally comes to me and says, I've done this, I'm going to forgive Wally. It's like my friend, he is forgiven. Though there are still consequences for our sins, he's forgiven, and we all still love him the same way that we loved him beforehand, except for now we know how to ask him better questions. We know how to work with him and how to say, okay, how are you doing in this area? There's ways where it doesn't change. He's still forgiven. And I think we miss that so often, is that we feel as though if we confess, people are going to look at us differently. And that may be true. Sometimes you can't always say what people are going to do. But we know that God is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. Continue on because it's late. But yeah, so there is an aspect. This is finished 19, or not 19, 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We did that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just want to make a parenthetical real fast. When I say confession, I don't just mean an acknowledgement of my sin. I don't just mean yes, I've done this. But I mean, it is a confession that is derived from genuine repentance. I am broken over my sin. I'm humbled over my sin. And I legitimately want to change from my sin. It's not just an acknowledgement, but it is an aspect where you say, okay, I am genuinely broken and want to change this in all aspects. So let's finish out verse 10. It says, and if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Each one of us here is a sinner. We are. We're all going to mess up, and I'm going to continue to mess up, and I'm going to mess up until the day that I die. Dr. Oreck on the camping trip said this. He says, though Jesus Christ, he said he freed us from our depravity, which is basically, just to define that, is Jesus Christ on the cross freed me from my moral corruption. I can now walk in the light. I can do this. I can walk. Though at the same time, knowing that I still have some sort of sin nature, I still have flesh. We got to see how that works out. But knowing this, I'm still going to choose the wrong things sometimes. Though I'm now free, I'm no longer a slave to sin, I'm now a slave to righteousness. Knowing that there's a difference here, I know that sometimes I'm still going to go back to my old tendencies. So if I say that I don't sin, I make him a liar, because we all know that I do sin. As with my friend, confession made him the freest he has ever been. And to quote from a song that I really love that we sing at school a lot, I think we sing it here some, it says, now why this fear and unbelief? Has not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for us? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin now canceled at the cross? And the chorus says, Jesus, all my trust is in your blood. Jesus, you've rescued us through your great love. Like, why this fear in my soul that if I confess my sins to my brothers and sisters that I will be rejected? Like, Jesus Christ has paid for it all. So know that tonight. If I can leave you with one thing, is know that you, Jesus Christ paid for you to be able to confess sin. So enjoy it. Live in the joy purchased in Calvary through the confession of sins. I'll give you that. I'm going to pray, and then you guys can have prayer meeting. So, Father, I just thank you for this group of people. I pray that we see confession of sin as important. I pray that you allow us to walk within that. Father, I pray that you work within us to instill this desire to confess sin. Allow us not to hide behind ourselves, but allow us to work for holiness in all aspects of our lives. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.